the idea of true wisdom, does that come with age? Is it naturally part and parcel with getting older and being more experienced? Or does the phrase, you know, there's no fool like an old fool, does that apply at times to people? How about in your own life? What have you noted? And are you one of the wise ones? Let's talk about it. All of the above this morning with our good friend, Dr. John B. Dr. John Brachio, Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing, who is a very wise one, I might add. Good morning.
Well, I hope so. We work at it, Dave. I think that getting old doesn't make you wise, okay? Getting older, if we will, and gaining experiences and using them a good way, now that can lead to wisdom. Like, I think the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. Now, that's a sign of wisdom, but it relates to being intentionally, that you intentionally choose to try to learn from each experience that you have, and you try to put that into practice to make yourself and those around you more effective and more wholesome and more, you know, call it what you will, lead a positive life. So when we run into a wise person, we know it. We know they've learned how to live a life. They've learned what to expect from life. They can give good advice and ideas to those of us that talk to them. And you don't have to be 80 or 90 or 70, 60, 50. You can be really any age where you've had enough time to observe, to learn, to study, to intentionally make a good set of decisions based on good judgments that are based on what you've learned over life. So it's an interesting thing. It's hard to just put your finger exactly on what it is, but when you meet a wise person, you know what it is after you've talked to the person, after you've experienced it with them. These are special people, and the more special the person is, the wiser, if you will, they have learned in life to what is right, what is wrong, what works for them, how they can help others.
Well, you know, and I love how you say it isn't automatically with age. And I remember when I was a little kid, there was a show on with a host, probably very few would now, the younger generation would know of him. His name was Art Linkletter.
Remember him very well.
Well, and he would interview children on the show. And some of the questions he would ask and the answers he would get were wise. What's the old phrase? Wise beyond their years.
Right.
And so you can get that from young people, too. It's one of those things where if you can't define it, you sometimes you know it when you hear it, don't you?
That is true. I think that was Kids Say the Darndest Things, I believe, is what Art Linkletter's show was. People ought to YouTube,
I think you're right.
Believe
yeah.
it or not. And but no, you can tell it. When you meet somebody and you talk to them and you're in your conversation, you're hearing the advice that they would give someone or what they have learned, and you can walk away saying, you know, I learned something, I experienced something. That was a very useful, if you will, conversation. It's kind of the old Latin word educare, which means more than just educate. It really means, you know, a cultural type of an experience in terms of really being someone who's refined, sophisticated, really learning the ways of the world, so to speak. And I mean sophisticated not so much in academic education, but in terms of understanding people and observing what's happening and gaining an ability to make sense of the whole thing and help yourself and others move forward in a good, effective way.
Hmm. Who was the wisest person you ever knew or you've known? Don't say me.
No,
I'm out. But
I guess, you know, it sounds kind of odd. As soon as you said it, I think of my father, of course. You know,
he was a
person that wisdom, learned so many things of living a life, coming here 8 years old as an immigrant in very difficult times. So he learned a lot from life, you know, giving the idea, go with those who know more than you do and pay their way. If you want to be a bum, run with a bum. You know, I mean, they sound like funny statements, but that's why I'm saying my dad was not a highly educated man from the university point of view, but clearly was one of those people that was wise and picked up and learned a lot and tried to give everyone he encountered, including his children, obviously, the tools, if you will, and the ability to move forward. Another one that, you know, this that you do unto me, you do unto others, you know, this, you know, this type of thing. A lot of them were biblical in terms of the things that were typical of the generation of the Italian-American Catholic, Roman Catholic, that had these views, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Right.
And these are the things. So I think if you can learn that your role is to not only help yourself in terms of education, learning the ways, experiences, call it what you will, but learning in a way that you can help others. You can model good behavior. You can learn yourself and move through the road of life. So you first yourself, you have to become wise, but you'll find those that are wise can really help those around them. You know, you don't necessarily run into a Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, you know, in three generations, but as a whole, you'll see that you can find generations of families and persons that have been able to engender, if you will, in each generation, each person, this ability to observe life, look at life, make themselves more effective, make good judgments, and help others make good judgments. And then there are others that just pick it up and learn it on their own. So there's no one way to do it. But the best thing to do, I still think the best thing to do is go with those who know more than you do. You try to figure out what they're doing, and you try to be helpful and resourceful and helpful to them along the way, and by being respectful and just being a good citizen, if you will, because there are always people, they don't have to be in the university, they don't have to be in government, they could be just a neighbor, someone who's learned things in life, and if we interact with people and we learn from each person what they've learned, then that can help us. Another one of my dad's views, try to figure whatever someone has learned to make their life effective, and then you can pick those up and you can try to make yourself more effective and help those you care for and those that you encounter in life.
Well, you know, I started here by saying that wisdom doesn't exactly come with age, but have you seen any case, Doc, and maybe more recently, where a younger generation, the current one, maybe doesn't hold the prior or two prior generations in the same esteem that maybe their forebears did? And there's a danger to that in throwing away some chances to learn from those who've gone through experiences.
I think you have to respect the past and understand from the past. We can always try to improve on the present. And any generation always thinks that they have the answers that other generations didn't have.
Sure.
But if you lose respect and only look for the negative in the past or past generations, then you're only going to hurt yourself, because, you know, there's another kind of a quote from, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, Jr., that just happens to come into my mind, that we really don't want to allow someone to take us to the level that we hate them, okay? That, you know, that's kind of a, you know, kind of, here it is right here. Let no man pull you so low as to hate him. Now, I'm not saying that a generation hates another generation, but I do believe that when I hear people totally critical of past times that they didn't live and they didn't experience, I think the best thing to do is call the best from previous generations, try to inculcate, try to use those in the here and now, and try to improve, try to have things be more effective. But when you hear people that are just will throw out everything, throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will, I think there is a danger, because you know, systems function when we improve on them, not when we just spend time finding fault and looking, you know, for the negative. So I think wisdom comes when we can learn even from, if you will, persons and generations and times that didn't do things according to how we would see them. Because I believe every 100 years, there was Dr. Johnson, if you will, the Englishman, who said you need a century before you can really judge history, because then everybody's gone from that generation. And I feel that this generation we're in, and this could be any time, I'm not talking just about now, there always is the danger, because you're alive and you're here and you're now and you only experience what you're seeing right now, that you somehow think that you have a license on the truth. And that is a dangerous way to be. And then that does lead to not being wise. We're really learning from the past, improving on things, and try to set the stage for future thinking and movement is really what we really have to do in an effective society. It's kind of Edmund Burke's old reflections on the French Revolution, where he warned about things changing too quickly, not to bring up an old event from the 1700s. But always we can learn if we go to the wise people from the past and try to learn from them, and then live in the present, utilizing those ideas and views and adding to those in the present as we walk the road of life.
I think that sounded pretty wise. No, seriously, that makes a lot. That's good. It makes a lot of sense. By the way, I was thinking about you end of last week. I was watching I'm flicking around and I hit upon Jeopardy, And here's a $1,000 Double Jeopardy question, the answer of which was he was thought of as being the great orator of ancient Rome. And I said, oh, I know who's going to get the answer to this one.
And of course, Cicero.
Absolutely. Oh, it took you like 1 second. None of them got it. None of them got it. Oh, Alex was that and some NFL questions coming later and football they didn't get. But anyway, I knew you would have the answer to that.
Could I give you an extra trivia thing?
Go ahead.
Caesar was considered the second greatest orator of Rome in that same period. And even though Cicero and Caesar never got along, not because of Caesar, I might add, they were always having conflicts, but even Cicero acknowledged the genius of Caesar, particularly when he was talking about what he wrote in terms of his he called them unvarnished, you know, works, but they were just so magnificent and indicated only a fool, in effect, would try to rewrite or redo what Caesar had done in his commentaries.
His commentaries, so, right, yeah.
Kind of a fascinating history between the two, but no, Caesar was one of the great orators of all time, kind of one of those unknown facts.
Until the final three words, et tu, Brute.
et tu, Brute, that's right. You, my son.
DrJohnB.com is the website. Podcast will be there. Regional Psychological Services, always great to have you on.
Listen, great chatting with you, Dave. Bye-bye.